next is a simple song by Harrison Hinchy and a sermonette by Pastor Jan Zerbe of Hillcrest Covenant Church.
Motivate one another to acts of love and good works.
So
Reading comes from Psalm 62, 5 through 8. But all that I am may cry before God, for my hope is in Him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress where I will not be shaken. My victory and honor come from God alone. He is my refuge, the rock where no enemy can reach. For my people trust in Him at all times. For all your hearts in Him, for God is our refuge.
Well, granted, it was the year 2012. After many years of hard work, at least for some of you, you're just a few days away from graduation. It's a brand new day for you. Brand new beginning, a brand new time. For some of you, you're going to blaze ahead, never really looking back over your shoulder. For some of you, you might be feeling a little bit more reflective as you come to the end of your high school career. This is one of those times in life when we often think about who we really are, what we're about, what we want to be about, what we want to be known for. High school tends to be a period of time where we tend to label ourselves or allow ourselves to be labeled by other people. And it can easily cause us to lose sight of who we are. The passage that I wanted to look at tonight is from 1 Peter 2, and it says that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Our culture is constantly telling us, regardless of our age, that we are not good enough. Not smart enough, not attractive enough, not wealthy enough, just plain not enough. And it's difficult over time to not let those messages creep in. And so the question is, do we look to the culture for the answer to that question, or do we look to Scripture? It's amazing how early on we learn the answer to the question, who am I? Oftentimes, people tell us before we have a chance to figure it out ourselves. Think back to early grade school. You knew at a very young age who was smart and who was not. You knew who was popular and who was not. Ultimately, we end up sticking those labels on ourselves, or sometimes we allow other people to place them on us. Other than those more obvious labels like brother and daughter, I wonder what kind of labels you would give yourself if you were really being honest. That you're not as smart as you wish you were. That no one knows the real you. That you're not quite sure what your purpose is in life. It's kind of amazing the negative things that we'll tell ourselves. But all over Scripture, it is written that we are set apart to do the work of God. And most importantly, that we are loved as children of God, not for what we do, but simply because we are. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Lion King? Most of you. I know you're 17, 18 years old, so stay with me. For those of you who have not seen it, it centers on a lion cub named Simba, who is the son of Mufasa, the king. Mufasa's brother, Scar, wants to be king. But he knows that the crown is going to go to Simba. And so Scar essentially gets the king killed and then convinces Simba that it was his fault and that he should run away. And so Simba runs off into the jungle and runs away from the crown that is rightfully his. One day as Simba is wandering around the jungle, saddened and angry and frustrated and lost, this obnoxious little monkey named Rafiki walks over to him and hits him on the head, trying to get his attention. And he says, "Who are you?" Rafiki replies, "The question isn't who am I, the question is, who are you?" Simba tells Rafiki that he thought he knew who he was, but that he just isn't quite sure anymore. So Rafiki says, "Well, I know who you are. You're Mufasa's boy." Rafiki tells Simba that he knows Simba's father, and Simba says, "I hate to tell you, but he died a long time ago." "No, he didn't," replied Rafiki. "Follow me and I will show him to you." And so Simba chases Rafiki all throughout the jungle until he finally comes to the sledge. And Rafiki points below and tells Simba to take a look. As Simba peers over the edge, he sees this pool of water. And in the pool of water, as many of you remember, Simba sees his own reflection. "That is not my father," says Simba. "Yes, it is," says Rafiki. "Look harder. You see, he lives in you." Suddenly, Simba hears his father's voice saying, "Simba, you have forgotten me." "No, I haven't forgotten you. How could I?" says Simba. "You have forgotten who you are," says Mufasa, "and therefore have forgotten me. Remember who you are. You are my son. Remember. Remember." Simba looks to Rafiki for his identity, and Rafiki answers in a rather profound manner. He doesn't call Simba the new king, even though he is. He doesn't say that Simba is furry or loud or rich or smart. He doesn't even identify Simba by his name. Instead, he says, "You're Mufasa." And so I wonder if I might say to us tonight, graduates, that you are not defined by your gender or your race. You are not defined by your color or your family history or your athletic or artistic ability. You are not defined by the things that you have done or the things that you have left undone. You are not defined by the poor decisions that you have made or even by the hand that life has dealt you so far. You are defined by God. You are a child of God. You are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, the child of the Most High. I know that this idea of royal priesthood is not language that we use. It doesn't mean much to any of us. But the culture to whom this was written, it was not just about status, it was about an invitation. Because royalty was inherited in those days. The priests came from certain families, and to say that it was a privilege to be a priest was a huge understatement. So when we read that God's people are called the royal priesthood, it is not only an honor and a privilege, but it also means getting rid of any dividing lines that were previously there. What family you came from no longer mattered. You did not have to be born into a certain lineage to be considered royalty, or to have full access to God. We walk around trying so hard to carve out an identity for ourselves. Or sometimes we're trying so hard to be something else that an identity is just handed to us. And we just wear it as if it's the gospel truth. And the reality is that there are always going to be people in your world like Scar, who are waiting to remind you of everything that is wrong with your life. They want to remind you that they knew you when you lived a different life. They know the kind of messed up family that you came from. They know about the things that you struggle with. They know about your insecurities. But God says, remember. Remember that you are more than your grades, your family, your friends, or your stuff. You are more than your insecurities. You are more than your failures and your disappointments. You are more than your weaknesses or your strengths. Graduate, it is a new day for you. And as you continue to think about the kind of person that you want to be, remember that God has a purpose for you. That God has a reason for your being here. That you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. You have royalty coursing through your veins. You aren't just somebody, and you definitely aren't nobody. You are royalty, and your identity is in God, and in God alone. Amen.
Pastor Jen Kuzerby of Hillcrest Covenant Church.